Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Janet B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Today is Monday, February 23rd, 2025. And today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 20, the fifth paragraph that starts, moderate drinkers have little trouble. Through one paragraph ending, they can take it or leave it alone, commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Susan S.H., 12 Traditions, Patsy M., readers of the text, Penny E. and Penny C. Our newcomer greeter is Kathy M., and our second hour host is Tony B. The reference number for Sunday, February 22nd, 2026 meeting is 23229. That's 23,229. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Susan S.H. to read the 12 steps. Morning, Susan.
Good morning. I'm now unmuted. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio, compulsive eater recovered today. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Pat. Thank you. And I will now ask Patsy M. to read the 12 traditions. Morning, Patsy.
Good morning, Janet. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 20, paragraph 5, that starts, moderate drinkers have little trouble, through that one paragraph ending, they can take it or leave it alone. And I will now ask Penny E. to begin reading. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you. This is Penny E., recovered in South Jersey. Wow, moderate drinkers. My first thought was, what the heck is
that? Penny, can you please read the paragraph for us first?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. Thank you so much. Okay, here we go. Moderate drinkers have little trouble in giving up liquor entirely if they have good reason for it. They can take it or leave it. So moderate drinkers, I'm thinking, what the heck is that? But this little tiny paragraph gave me so much food for thinking, so to speak. The only thing I know about moderate drinkers is what I've seen in others. You know the ones that they can't order dessert because they're so full, and they can't finish the meal because they're so full, and they don't want to take home leftovers because they don't want to see it anymore. It's not me. I just have over and over and over and over reasons to prove to me that I am not a moderate drinker. Liquor ceased to be a luxury for me. It became a necessity. I had no choice. As soon as I picked up that first bite, I kept eating and eating and eating. Moderate drinkers don't get put into diet camp when they're kids. Moderate drinkers don't go to, my father told me when I was just growing up, if you don't lose weight, if you don't moderate your eating, you're never going to have a boyfriend. You're never going to get married. You'll never be successful. I lived with this. They took me to the diet doctors. I had diuretics. I had amphetamines. I had all kinds of food, all kinds of pills to help me lose weight, to become a moderate eater. If you lose weight, moderate eaters don't get this from their parents. If you lose weight, I will buy you. I will buy you. I will buy you. I wouldn't have been taken to therapists. I wouldn't be taken to therapists to find out what is wrong with me. I have a disease. Never, ever was I a moderate eater. Never. And I'm not now. But I do eat moderately because I am abstinent. God has removed the desire from me to compulsively overeat for a long time. and I look like a moderate eater. People look at me and think, oh my gosh, you know, how do you stay in such a slim body? Well, because of God, because of God. And now we have all this snow, all this snow. And it used to be, not a moderate drinker, I would go out and get all kinds of cake mixes and things to eat so I could binge. No, I'm so sorry. So I could eat through the snow thing. I'm all mixed up here. But I went out to get my pears. I went out to get my tofu. I went out to get my milk so I could have what I needed to eat moderately in my house. So before I get more confused, I'll end with that. Thank you, everybody. I hope you're safe and warm. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tony. And now I'll take a lineup on names. I know it's a short paragraph, but it's a good one. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday on any of the vision meetings, please hold back and let your friends share.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
I got Lisa B. in South Carolina, and that is it. So please say your name again. Okay, someone in Connecticut, either Debbie or Betty in Connecticut.
Betty Jean
in Connecticut. Yep. Debbie, yep. Who else?
Lassa O.
If I got your name already, please mute.
Barnaby in Florida.
Okay, I got me. Lisa B, Betty Jean in Connecticut, Jen B, Vasa O, and Bonnie B. Who else would like to share?
Karen K.
and Mrs. B. I got you, Karen. There was someone before Karen. There's a man. Okay, this is
Jane.
Who I have. Lisa B, Betty Jean, Jen B, Vasa O, Bonnie B, Karen K, and Jane F. Is there anyone who I missed?
Sally A.
Okay, we will get started with this lineup. So we've got Lisa B, followed by Betty Jean. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I live in South Carolina. Thank you so much, Janet, for your service and for the wonderful lead. It is a really short paragraph, but it's the beginning of a really powerful section for me, but I'll share my experience. That word entirely is what jumps out for me. I was never able to put everything down entirely. And when it talks about moderate drinkers, moderate eaters, I think for a long time I thought I was a moderate eater. I compared myself to other people in OA. And I just thought, you know, I'm not as bad as you guys. And even when I came to this meeting and met my sponsor and started going through the big book, and did get entirely abstinent for the first time, having gone through the doctor's opinion with her and finally really understanding. I even then thought, you know, I'm so glad there's a fellowship here to help her, to help my sponsor. But as we kept reading and she would share her experience, I began to see I really am a compulsive overeater. It's as if they can take it or even leave it alone. I could never take it or leave it alone. For me, volume was always a big thing for me. And then restricting, controlling my food. And, you know, when I was younger, I was able to control it, so I thought. But I never, ever stayed away from it entirely. I always went back to something. Anyways, I just really wanted to raise my hand and share. Today, I am recovered. I'm abstinent. I have neutrality. I do this happily. And it really took understanding the problem and the solution. and working with someone that was truly a compulsive overeater that was recovered and could share with me their experience. And also God's grace stepped in and just enabled me to hear and understand. And I also think pain. Pain was the greatest motivator for me. Emotional, spiritual, psychic pain. So glad to be here. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And now we have Betty Jean, followed by Jen B. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning. This is Betty Jean, compulsive overeater recovering in snowy Connecticut. Wonderful to be here with you all today. the word moderate is what struck me in this meeting, because I considered myself a moderate eater who needed to lose 20 pounds. I consider myself a moderate eater who occasionally celebrated, occasionally overate. The fact that this was constant didn't seem to enter my consciousness. And I had been an overeater since probably very, very, very young. I remember being interested in food from a very young age. My mother was a compulsive overeater, as was my grandmother. My grandmother hid food in her house from her children. My mother was probably the kid who found it. I kept saying to anyone and to myself, I just need to lose 20 pounds. When I was younger, I was able to keep up with my eating by exercise, by activity, and I hadn't yet wrecked my metabolism. But in my late 20s, it all caught up to me and came crashing down. And I put on like 50 pounds in a year because I just could not stop. And I couldn't exercise. I would have to be, you know, an Olympic athlete to keep up with the amount I was eating. I continued to tell myself, it's just this, if I could just get this 20 pounds off. When I came into program, I would look at other people and think they weigh more than me. I would line up everybody in the room in my mind. Who was the heaviest? Who had to lose the most? I would always look at people out in public who weighed more than me. And sometimes they were married, and I thought, see, they got married, and they're really heavy. That was how I judged everyone. When I was going to meetings and someone would show up and say that they were struck absent on their first meeting, I would be resentful and say to higher power, look, what about me? I've been sitting here for 4 years. I was in this program for 4 years, going to meetings with a sponsor, trying to work this program. I kept coming back, and for 4 years, I was not absent. I was chronically relapsing. I was able to turn the corner, and I've been absent now for 2 years, and it's great. It's better than I ever imagined it would be. Life still happens. It still isn't easy. I joined another program. That program is working for me, too. This discovery, I didn't know about OA. A doctor told me about it, and thank God. He was my Evie Thatcher. He saved my life. I'm so grateful for everyone here in this meeting for sharing today. I'm not even you know what this snowstorm would have meant to me 7 years ago. I would have been one of the crazy people out clearing the shelves. I would have been the one going out in the middle of this storm getting more food because I'd run out of everything I bought. When the snow started to fall, that was time for me to start baking. So glad I am not there. So glad I'm here with all of you. So very grateful to each one of you and everyone making this meeting possible. And I pass.
Thanks, Betty Jane. Thank you. And now we've got Jen B, followed by Vasa. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for doing the meeting this morning. I'm Jen B., a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. I can't help this morning. I spent most of my life trying to be the moderate eater and failed every day. Not one day was I able to try, not even white knuckling. In the snowstorm that we have right now, for a couple days, I was worrying that I was going to run out of my abstinent food. I'm food neutral under God's protection. I said, I can't run out of my abstinent food. And then last night, as, you know, closing up the kitchen, I realized I'm not going to run out of food like I normally would have in another storm, because I'm not going to eat like somebody else. I'm not going to eat all the food before it's gone. But my, you know, my story, I've tried to qualify out a lot. My highest weight was about 200 pounds, and I say, well, there are people that are more than that. Well, I'm 5 foot, so, you know, 200 pounds is unhealthy, pre-diabetic. I'm waddling, not walking, and nowhere near in a mental state where I can handle life. Nowhere near it. My this all of my life I tried to moderate. I started with doing Slim Fast before high school to lose weight. Probably I didn't need to lose weight. It was just puberty. I got hips. I lost my little girl body. I wasn't overweight, but I took Slim Fast and I lost 20 pounds before high school. And then it never stopped. I don't think for a day after that, I was either binging, you know, stopping on the way home from high school at the local convenience store with a pint of ice cream or a bag of chips, or I was on some crazy diet with pills that were going to make me lose my bowels. And that was all of high school. And then, you know, fast forward after my kids are born, my son had ADHD and I would take his leftover medicine if most parents hate, you know, if they're trying different medications for their child. I loved it. What didn't work for him, I took to suppress my appetite until God intervened. And one day he said, Mom, I think, you know, we tried something else. And then it continued. I would take, and, you know, people in my life, because, you know, I've been heavy but not morbidly obese, don't take me seriously. But what they don't understand is when I was thin, if I was in a normal-looking body weight, I was eating 500 calories a day, taking hormones off the internet, and that didn't last long. Then I start binging. And what happened was now I started purging because I couldn't maintain that, and I couldn't eat 500 calories a day, and I couldn't stay thin. So I would purge, and they don't realize when I was heavy, that's when I was binging and purging. I was purging. I was taking in far more calories than I could possibly ever purge. So, yeah, they may not have seen me as morbidly obese. Thank you. But thank you to God's protection that I don't have to live that life again. And that's why I'm waking up, even though I could sleep in during the snowstorm, and I'm listening to all of you. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, Jen. Now we've got Vasa O, followed by Bonnie B. Good morning, Vasa.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Janet, for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And I was 5'1", tall, and 145 when I came to the program trying to get thin, moderator eater. I tried everything in my power to be a moderate eater. I tried to measure and weigh the food, went to the Weight Watchers. I learned very well how to measure and weigh. I counted calories. I weighed the food on the scale. I smoked cigarettes to kill my appetite. I use restricting. I use some bulimia. I did everything I could for 25 years of my life since we came in America, and I discovered all this wonderful food. In the old country, I was thin, and my mother used to worry. She would try to make special foods for me to gain some weight. So I've been on both sides. How I felt being thin and how I felt being overweight. And I'm so grateful that the Lord led me to the 12 steps. I had no clue about Overeaters on Anonymous about the 12 steps. I remember reading in Dear Abby years ago, but I thought I needed to be like 50 pounds or 100 pounds to be overweight, to be in 12 steps. So I just kind of ignored it, and it was getting progressive and progressive. And thank you, God, I was brought in the 12 steps, and I learned about the solution in the doctor's opinion. I learned about the allergy of the body and the mental obsession and how those 100 people, men and women, recovered. And I was given this big book, and I said to my sponsor, I don't need this. I don't drink. I don't drug. I'm just having a food problem. She said, scratch food and scratch alcohol and put food on the top. And I didn't know so many words. She had me underline all the words because English was my second language to understand what it meant. I still don't understand, but it is by the grace of God. She said, very simple. She said to me, surrender to God, to a higher power greater than yourself, and surrender to the program, and you will get it. And that's what I've been doing. It is by the grace of God I became abstinent from the first night I came to the program, and I surrendered to God. Thank you. That was the solution. Surrender, surrender. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Sasha. And now we've got Bonnie B, followed by Karen K. Morning, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, Janet. Thanks for your service this morning. Bonnie B, a true compulsive overeater, living recovered today by the grace of God in the state of Florida. You know, when I came into program, I didn't understand any of it. I spent 50 plus years trying to figure out why did I do what I did when it came to food. I didn't moderate anything well. That word moderate, I didn't moderate eating. I didn't moderate exercising. I didn't moderate service. I didn't moderate anything well. I did not know proportion. The big book uses that word proportion, you know, 3-4 times. I did not regulate anything well, but I couldn't figure out why it didn't work, because there was a season in my life where it seemed like it worked. If I fast forward to page 31, it says, here are some of the methods we've tried. I wrote down everything I've tried. Now, granted, they were all diets, but every one of them seemed to work until it didn't. And the price tag just got bigger and bigger. The dollar amount and the deception and the hiding and it became craziness. But I never understood what it was. I don't have a food issue. I have an emotional sobriety issue. I have a thinking issue. When my thoughts go to a place that results in me unattaching or placing more importance on things that are eye level than God and the end result, which is like the motivation behind what I'm doing, I lose my peace. And when I lose my peace, the food was the only option I had. It was the drug of no choice, so to speak. And what I could moderate at one point disappeared. And it left me wanting. I couldn't figure it out. And so I just kept searching. I kept looking. I had no idea there was such a thing as Overeaters Anonymous until someone, by the grace of God, placed an ad in a newspaper. And I got a free newspaper. And it listed all these different things. And it said, if you do these things, maybe this meeting would benefit you. Even when I came into the meeting, it took me a long time to figure out that this is a DNA thing. This isn't a moral issue. I have wrestled with this thing my entire life. When I look back at my history, it's my DNA. So by the grace of God, he placed me here into a group of people who understand me. Oh, I'm so grateful. I am so grateful for this beautiful program. And yes, I had to understand at that deep level that I will never be able to moderate this. If God doesn't do it for me, game over. Every single day, if God doesn't do it, I'm toast. So by the grace of God today, he will do it. I will allow him, and with that, I will pass. Thanks, all, and blessings.
Thanks, Bonnie. And now we've got Karen K, followed by Jane S. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, family. My name's Karen K from Mississippi. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and yeah, I have to repeat what several other people have said. I can't moderate anything on my own. I have struggled with drugs, alcohol, sex, food, coffee, everything, shopping. So, I don't moderate anything. And I do now. And that's because I surrendered. I surrendered to God. I surrendered it all to God. And I am now moderating my food and some other things that were difficult for me currently. And it's just been an amazing journey. And like, this meeting has helped me so much understand the big book better, because I've read it before and I didn't understand it. I didn't relate to it. And now I'm relating to it and that's this meeting is really what's helping me do that. So thank you to everybody who's doing service, and thank you for everybody on the call, and I will pass.
Thanks, Karen. And now we have Jane F., followed by Sally A., then we'll take some more names. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Janet, and good morning, Vision family. My name is Jane S., and I am grateful to be here today and living in a recovered state of mind. I hail from Florida right now. I'm grateful not to be in New Hampshire, which is where my home is. Anyway, grateful to be here, and even more grateful just for the peace and serenity and freedom I have in my heart today. And so when I heard the reading today, it was read, the word that stuck out was moderate. Moderate? What does that mean? So I did what, you know, I was taught to do. You look it up. And, you know, I read moderate, kept within reasonable average limits, avoiding extremes in behavior and intensity. And what is moderation? Exercising restraint. Well, that is the total opposite of my character. And so I had a lot to learn when I got here. And, you know, it struck me this morning in that reading that we had to entirely put away liquor. And, you know, I realized in hindsight now, God was doing for me through my whole life, but in my early recovery, God was doing for me what I could not do for myself. I had to put the liquor down first. I put liquor down, cigarettes, some major unhealthy relationships, drugs, all of that. And then I picked up food with a vengeance, and food was already out of control for me, but I picked it up with a vengeance because that's all I had left. I thought that that gave me power. I thought that that was the solution, and I tried everything until I, you know, got to a point where I just couldn't do it anymore, and I realized that I was totally powerless, and that unless I surrendered everything and accepted that I am also a compulsive overeater, I couldn't get better. And once I did that, I realized that, you know, I had lost that choice of power. That power of choice, that power of choice. And so that means I'm powerless. So what do I need? I need that solution. I need a higher power, a God of my, I don't understand it, but I know that it works today. And I had to jump back into the steps, which I did over a year and a half ago. And oh my gosh, the miracle that was the transformation that was miraculously performed in me and through me and continues one day at a time is amazing. I realized I couldn't moderate anything on my own, but today God is teaching me how, with my surrender on a daily basis, with my acceptance of who I am, my reaching out and being self-sacrificing and helping others and getting into that big book and staying in the big book. I need to get another sponsee right now. I need to stay in this step work. Because I need to continuously work on myself and look at myself, and I can do that by working with others. And I realize today that that's how God helps me to moderate everything in my life, because I will obsess about things. I will take things to the extreme. Oh, that went so fast. All right, thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Jane. And now we've got Sally A., and then I'll tell you where we're at and take some more names. Morning, Sally.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for moderating this morning for us. And thank you, everyone, for being here and enabling me to brain flush and to be reminded of who I am and providing me with the medicine that I require to be well and to continue to get well. I'm Sally A., recovering, continually to recover, and recovered compulsive overeater. And this is an important paragraph for me because I, too, will never be a moderate drinker or eater, but I am today a moderate eater. I have had so much trouble in giving up entirely sugar and flour and Splenda and salty crunchy and so many things that for me lead me back by the nose, by a nose ring, right back into the quagmire, the place that I was in for so long. I remember when I used to work around when I was 14 and 15, and I knew I had an eating disorder, and disordered eating, and I used to work around this problem. I remember that I would eat things like Cool Whip, and I would eat all the Cool Whip I wanted because I knew I wasn't a moderate eater. So I would allow myself to have only one thing, cantaloupe, only cantaloupe, but I could have five cantaloupes a day because that was my compulsion. But as it has been said this morning, it starts with what's going on in my mind. It starts with the mental compulsion, and it leads me to the food which has been for me my substance of choice. When it talks about giving up liquor or, for me, certain foods entirely, once again, they are reminding us that there is no middle ground. There's no center road. It is black and white, which has been troubling for my eating buddies from the past. Why can't you have a little? But I can't, and I have to know that. It doesn't matter if they get it. It matters that I get it. And when it goes on to say they can take it or leave it alone, I have to tell you, I thought I was a product of my genes and my environment. I thought it was because I was an Italian, because I love Italian food and I love food in general. I thought it was because I was a New Yorker that I was surrounded by the best pizza, the best bagels, the best cannolis. I thought this will never work for me. I could never give up pasta. This is part of a product of my genes and my environment. But I have learned that that's not true. Thank you, Janet. That's not true. And that God can do for me what I could never do for myself. Thanks for listening this morning. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks. And now I can take about six more names. So let me tell y'all where we are. We are on page 20, Charles the H. fifth paragraph. Okay,
Alexis F.
Okay, let me tell y'all where we are. We are on page 20, the fifth paragraph that starts, moderate drinkers have little trouble. That one paragraph ending, they can take it or leave it alone. Okay, I got Charles, I got Alexis. I'll take about four more names.
KCR.
Casey.
Irene S.
Anya.
Irene S. Was that Anya?
Janice, yep. H. in California.
Okay, I think I've got everyone. Charles H., Alexis, KCR, Irene F., I think it was Anya, and then Janice H. So if we have time for more, we will add more. So Charles, good morning.
Oh, wow.
Charles H., you are up.
Yeah,
okay,
thank
we'll
you very much.
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead,
Charles.
All right, yeah. I apologize. Thank you. I apologize for the confusion. I'm Charles H., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And the fact that I cannot moderate compulsive overeating, when I admitted that fact, which is a thing that I have to admit every single day based on my experience, I'm able to moderate other things in my life. When I admit total, my friend from Boston always says, say it with me, surrender, surrender, surrender. When I totally surrender to the fact that I'm a real compulsive overeater, and this part of the text is talking about the moderate drinker, in our case, eater. When I'm able to be governed by that fact, then I can moderate other things in life. I listen almost every single day because of the promotion I got to a bigger building. I wish I could be here live. I just cannot. But I'm able to moderate that. I'm able to moderate and balance my life based on realizing that I can't moderate compulsive overeating. And was it embarrassing at first? Yeah. And that's why I binged, because I wouldn't relinquish that fact to my psyche, to myself, that I cannot moderate compulsive overeating. I'm grateful for that, because now my life is so full because I moderate everything else in my life. I moderate the times I talk. I moderate the amount of meetings I go to. I moderate, you know, getting into workplace gossip. I even moderate resentments and fears because it is what it is. So I'm so grateful to be live with you guys today. And I hope everybody stays warm, safe, and recover. And have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Charles. And now we've got Alexis followed by Casey R. Good morning, Alexis.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Those who listen and learn, and those who step forward and speak. When my mother was eulogized, she was eulogized for having great faith, great food, great family, great friends, and great times. And, you know, of course, we were all very upset about it. But my friends can only remember my mother in the kitchen baking. And my fondest memory of going back with my mother is to remember the times when she taught me to teach my, to make my father's favorite cake, my brother's favorite cake, my second brother's favorite cake, and my third brother's favorite cake. And when my aunt would make taffy for us. And there were times when my mother was sick and I had to stay home from school. And she would buy a pint of ice cream and we would split it. And I would look forward to those times, no school and have an ice cream. Wow. And I remember, you know, like if my mother was sick, we would have to go to the store and buy candy bar for lunch. Well, that was another fantastic thing. Well, I didn't really get that heavy. I went up to about 160 pounds when I got married, but I'm 5'8", and I could carry it. I stayed down around 150 while my children were little, and I only gained 11 pounds with my son when he was born. But after the age of 27, I became a compulsive overeater. And I would go out and buy 10 candy bars instead of one. And, you know, everything by the gallon and by the package, by the box. It would be whole cakes instead of a piece of cake. And I went up to 200 pounds with my first marriage, and he divorced me because I was too heavy. And my second marriage, I went up to 300 pounds. And at 300 pounds, he would say to me, I couldn't wake you up this morning. You looked so beautiful laying there in bed. I think, what the hell is he talking about? Beautiful, 300 pounds. And
time.
Thank you.
Okay, and now we have Casey R. followed by Irene S. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning. This is Casey R. in New York. Thank you for the meeting. Thank you for your service. And this moderate eater really kind of struck a chord with me today, and I was thinking, oh, I'll just run through it in my head of how I can relate, you know, versus sharing. That'll be good enough. And then one of the sharers mentioned being Italian, and that was kind of what I was running through my head, and I was like, okay, that's a sign to share. So I never saw what moderate looks like. So I'm from an Italian family of six, and overeating was just a part of the fabric of daily life. Seeing other family members just use the whole product container as their personal serving, whether it was a half a gallon of ice cream and a spoon or the whole bag of chips in front of the television. So just seeing that was what was modeled as normal. And even if my dad would make bread, I mean, he would bring loaves of bread and sticks of butter to the table. And that's just what we grew up with. We grew up with a big abundance. We grew up with the whole neighborhood knowing that our house was the house with good food, like 30 boxes of cereal and all the things. And the doors were always open for kids to come and hang out, go swimming, you know, eat whatever they wanted. So that was really just the normal. On Sundays, we'd go to my grandmother's. We were encouraged to eat and eat and eat. Our whole entire visit was around the kitchen table for hours. And that's how we connected. We were scolded if we didn't have seconds and praised if we had thirds or more. So I think it took a lot of years. And even, you know, I started OA last May, and I started learning how to moderate portions with my food plan, I think for the first time, even though I was in my 50s, despite doing pay and weighs earlier. But the pay and weighs, you're looking at your food as points and still not having balance and moderation. And so I had to do a lot of praying and a lot of leaning into the steps to not have resentment and to take that accountability and also to learn. I think the biggest thing was learning about the allergy of the body and the mental twist. And just those couple of words made me realize, oh, okay, I belong here. So I'm grateful through the step work. I'm really happy to find vision. And I'm so grateful that I have 255 days of continuous abstinence, because not only has it helped tremendously, actually eliminated overeating, but all the other overs too, overdoing, overworking, overcaring, all the other overs. So I'm starting to develop a relationship with moderation for the first time in my life. So thank you so much, and I clap.
Thank you, Casey. And now we've got Irene S.
Hi, Irene S. from Ontario, Canada. And thanks, everyone, for doing the service. So for me, I was actually, for maybe 19 years, I was eating moderately. I could, like, food didn't call me. I could just eat one and forget about the rest. I could, you know, leave food on the plate and not even be bothered with it. You know, it was quite a number of years, like 19 years. I wasn't trying to lose weight or gain weight or anything. Like, it was not an issue for me. And I remember once my sister was saying this. She said the saying, like, living to eat or eating to live. And I laughed at it because it didn't make sense to me at that time. And so something happened when I turned 19 years old. And from that time on, I remember consciously making a decision to just binge because it was, you know, doing things for me. And, you know, obviously it progressed very, very quickly. But during that time, what I was trying to do is to get back to that way of eating that, you know, I was eating before I turned 19 years old. You know, I really thought I could just snap out of it, or I can, like, do something to go back, because I have fresh memories about how it was used to be, how it was like to be a moderate eater. But needless to say, obviously, it's that once I have this disease, I have it. There's no way, like, once I'm a pickle, I'm always a pickle. There's no way back. And I started using food for, like, it doesn't matter what the reason was. I could have a good day, a bad day, you know, a neutral day. I could just binge, and it could just happen at any point in time. And I'm so grateful that right now I'm in a place where I know in my inner core self that I am a compulsive overeater. I have this thing, never going to go away. I'm never going to go back to the way I used to be. And I, once I can really, really accept it, and when the surrender can happen, then I can apply the spiritual principles of this program, because they were useless to me until I surrender. You know, the surrender is a really, really big piece of the equation, because I can have, you know, just because I have these bad consequences of my compulsive eating doesn't mean I am surrendered. You know, and if I can't surrender, then what I was doing is praying for that, because it is a gift, actually, to be surrendered. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. Thanks, everyone, and have a good day.
Thanks, Irene. And now we've got, I believe it's Anya, followed by Janice H. Anya, go ahead. Okay, maybe I'm wrong on that one. So Janice H., go right ahead and press star one, and then we'll be able to take one more name.
It's Anya. I think I'm unmuted now.
Okay, go ahead. You go ahead and share. I think it's got a little disconnect here. Janice H., can you please press star one?
Oh, hi, everybody. This is Janice H., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Thank you, moderator, for the meeting, and thank you, everyone, for 12-stepping me this morning. And, you know, what a great topic. Like, I don't know. I thought I was a moderate eater for a long time. I started dieting when I was like 12. So I don't know if I was or wasn't, but I was up and down over my whole life. And I happened to marry someone who is able to moderate pretty much everything. You know, we would gain weight together. He would just all of a sudden say, oh, I need to lose weight. You know, no carbs, no whatever, and lose weight. And then me, I keep going up, you know. And then, and he's able to moderate with alcohol, you know, just with pretty much most things that I am not. You know, I was a smoker. I am a recovering alcoholic. I had a drug problem. I just couldn't stop on my own many things. And I can get into having a shopping addiction. I can get absorbed in other people, you know, in other people. I can make other people my higher power. I just can get unable to moderate in many different areas. And what I realize is that is me putting other things in the place of a higher power. And, you know, for me with the food, it's making food my God instead of trying to clear away, you know, a channel to where I can fill up whatever that emptiness is with something of a spiritual nature. And just recently I, you know, had a resentment with my husband, actually, and I was really blocking off that sunlight of the spirit, so to speak. And a friend in the program suggested I start praying for him, like it says in the book. So I did, and like I think today is where it's been two weeks, and then Saturday. This past Saturday, I just had the most amazing day. I know I'm sorry to hear about your weather problems, but here in California, the weather is amazing right now. And I just had the most amazing day, and that resentment is now lifted. And so it does work, even though when I'm in it, I feel like it's never going to clear. Okay, thank you. So I guess that's just what I'm saying. I do feel like I'm back in alignment with my higher power now, thanks to the tools of the program. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone who shared and read. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for February 23rd, 2025, 7 a.m. meeting is 23,230. That's 23230. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Okay. Thank you, Janet.
I am Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.